All right, Mike, since you're the man, then come on, post for us, and I'll try to take it easy here. We're going to be continuing here in our subject matter, looking at things that differ and differences to consider. And if we can provoke some Bible study based upon these issues that we've been sharing, Ephesians chapter 2, 7, 8, and 9 theme here, then we'll continue on with that. So anyway, want to welcome everyone in, and let's go ahead and lock down the mic. And we'll ask that if anyone's here, if you have some questions, to hold them until the end of the study. And let's keep the text so that the verses can be posted for those that take notes, and we can continue on. Okay? Let me lock the mic down, and we'll get started. Okay, if it's Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're in the Berean Bible Study, and you're at a good place here on a Saturday night. Call it sometimes the Saturday Night Live Study, which all our studies are live each and every night, except for Thursday night, then it's Grace School of the Bible. And tonight, as usual, we're going to continue on in the differences to consider, looking at things that differ, according to Galatians chapter 2 and verses 7, 8, and 9. We'll look at that for the start of our study here. Galatians chapter 2 and verses 7, 8, and 9. Galatians chapter 2. And let me turn there. And verses 7, 8, and 9. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Okay? Now, welcome in once again, and let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the assembly. We thank you that we can come together and share your word rightly divided as we study here. And we look for a clear message and understanding of your word here rightly divided. Okay, now, we want to look at the issue here. Real tough issue last week. We looked at, took up most of the hour about the issue of baptism. And we considered a lot of things. We talked about times past. We talked about ages to come, and this but now period that we're in. We also, in our study here, we looked at justification by works versus grace. We looked like salvation. We looked at to do. We looked at the cross, bad news being bad news to Israel, and many other topics. Tonight we're going to be looking at a topic that may be somewhat controversial. When we look at the issue of election, and we look at the issue of election in the same way we look at scriptures, we look at election according to times past, but now, and ages to come. And as we look at this topic, we're going to understand that those that were spoken to in times past are going to be some of the same that are going to be addressed in ages to come. And when we look at the but now period of election, we're looking at us today and who we are in Christ Jesus. So I hope you guys enjoy the study. And let's start off here in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start here in Matthew chapter 24, and let us look at a few verses. We're going to look at verses 22 through verses 24. We're going to look at, start here at Matthew 24, verses 22 through verses 24. And note here, Christ speaking to them concerning ages to come, speaking to them in the times past period, which we see here. Okay? And let's look here. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22 through 24. It says here, "And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." Okay? So we're going to talk about the elect in the Old Testament and times past and ages to come, and we're going to talk about the elect in the but now period that we have before us. Let's continue on here in Matthew 24. Let's look at 9 through 31. Matthew chapter 29 through 31. It says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of to the other." Okay? Information here for the little flock of believers that Christ was addressing, speaking to them about issues that will take place in ages to come. He's dealing with those elect, and let's identify them also, as we're going to look back into some Old Testament scriptures. But let's go to the but now period. Let's go to the but now period, and let's look at what Paul says concerning Israel in Romans chapter 11. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, and let us say also here that Paul, when he's addressing the nation of Israel in his epistles, it's not doctrine for us, it is information for us through our learning that we can understand what has happened to Israel. Now this information is going forth to us and also to them. Let's first look here at Romans chapter 11 and verses 1 through 10. Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. He says, "I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." Now, he's talking about his kinsmen, as Romans 9 talk about. He's talking about the bloodline there, in the flesh. He's talking about those of the circumcision. And Paul qualifies himself. He says, "For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." Okay? Does anyone need to dispute that? He says, "Too, God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. Woe ye not what the scripture said, Elijah, how that he make intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dug down their altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what said the answer of God unto him? I have myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baalah. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace." Surely there in Paul's ministry in the Acts period, there would have been a remnant of Israel, that little flock. Verse 6, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. We can understand a wonderful principle here concerning grace and works. It says, what then? Israel had not obtained that which, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Here we see the elect had attained it, and the rest were blinded. Now let's look here in verses 8, 9, and 10, according to some of the quotes from Old Testament scriptures. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they may not see, should not hear until this day. And David said, let their tables be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a reprehense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their backs away. Okay? Now, who are they referring to here? Let's go over back to one more chapter in Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 9, and let's go to verses 25 through verses 33. Okay? And could you hold your comments there? We're having a Bible study here. We'll be glad to answer any questions after the study. Romans chapter 9, verses 25 through verses 33. Okay? Romans chapter 9 and verse 25 through verses 33. It says here, Paul addressing Israel, he said, and he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not beloved. And it shall pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, through the number of the children of Israel, be as the sands of the sea, a remnant shall be, for he will finish the work and will cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make unto the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath have left us a seed unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? At verse 31, but Israel, which follow after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay? Let's understand that real quick. Quickly, that he's addressing there in Romans chapter 9, not the church, the body of Christ. He's addressing Israel. Now, let us head on here, and also let us look at some more scriptures here in Romans chapter 11. Let's go back to Romans chapter 11 and verses 11 through 15. Okay? Romans chapter 11, verses 11 through 15. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Here we see the stumbling, the fall. We see the Gentiles used to provoke them to jealousy. Here we see the fall and the diminishing and the casting away of the nation Israel. Okay? We see Paul saved some of them. Okay? Now, let's also look here in Romans chapter 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 and verses 16 through 21. Romans chapter 10, verses 16 through 21. He says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth, ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought not me. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Verse 21. To Israel he said, all day long I've stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gang-slaying people." We're looking here at the elect of God there in times past. Okay? Let us also look here at back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And verses 25 through 33. Okay? Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 33. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, Thou shalt come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." We're going to look at that times of Jacob's trouble also. It says, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election they are the beloved for your sake, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as you in times past has not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also might obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon them. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out." Now, it's so important that we rightly divide the word of truth, as God has told us how to study his word, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Why is that so important for us when we understand what is for us today in the church, the body of Christ? And the doctrine that is to Israel is very clearly seen here in what happened to Israel here in the but now period. So we can understand that the application of the doctrine in times past wasn't to us Gentiles, but it was to the nation Israel. By rightly dividing the word of truth, we identify in God's word who it's addressing. Therefore, I hope we get the issue and the point why it's so important to identify the scriptures, not only to show the proper context, but to show who they're speaking to and why that is so important. So we can understand when we look at a word, like tonight we're looking at the elect of God, we can identify who they are and put them in their proper perspective. We can identify the information that was to the elect in the Old Testament and times past, elect that's going to be addressed there in ages to come. That's the importance of that message that we're sharing tonight, identifying them. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. Now, in times past, in our studies here, we started looking at a lot of the information that we look to in the gospel of the circumcision. So we trace the steps of the circumcision. We trace the steps of them to identify them and who God was speaking to. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the cursings which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind amongst the nations, whether the Lord thy God has driven thee. Now note here, in verse 1, he's talking about that thou shalt be mindful among them all the nations, whether the nation of Israel, that Hebrew nation, the children of Israel. Verse 2, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I commanded thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and has compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether the Lord thy God has scattered thee. He didn't have to scatter us, folks. We were already scattered. We were scattered there when he confounded the languages at the Tower of Babel. We were scattered, and he chose Israel as a nation. He chose Abraham as their father, and the line that would come through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we can understand in those passages who we were. And he's going to be gathering, he's talking about gathering the elect of the Old Testament from all the nations, those people in times past which God is addressing. Let's go here to the book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1 and verse 9. Nehemiah 1 and verse 9. We're going to look at one passage here. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 9. Okay, and I hope Brother Mike is still with us. I haven't seen any scriptures moving, but let us find that verse and we'll move ahead. Okay, Nehemiah 9 and verse 1. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the utmost parts of the heavens, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now, the issue here is that he scattered his elect, and he's going to gather them back together. Okay? He scattered them, and he's going to gather them. Now, our passage that we looked at there in Matthew is in conjunction here with what the prophets are speaking, and even what was spoken there in the book of Deuteronomy, okay? That they were scattered, so he's going to gather them back from the four winds of the earth, okay? He's not talking about the church, the body of Christ here, and we're going to make that distinction. He's talking about those Old Testament elect. He's talking about his elect in times past. Let's go here to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're going to look at verses 25 and 26. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 25 and 26. It says here, thus said the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the people amongst whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them, in the sight of the heathen. Now let's pause here. Who was the heathen? Was it everyone on earth? No. The heathen was us. So the elect there, the ones that will be gathered and sanctified, he's talking about the house of Israel. Okay, let us continue. Then shall they dwell in the land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord thy God. Now, let us understand this. You hear many people today coming up talking about how prophecy is being fulfilled today, and how through a treaty by the United Nations has restored Israel, and we see the gathering. Well, is there peace there today? Do the heathen understand that God is doing this? No, because God is not doing this. What's going on there today, God is not dealing with the nation Israel. He said here in the verse here, now I guarantee you, anyone that's there in Jerusalem is not dwelling safely. At any time, just as we are here, but there it is more so that they could be bombed, they could be shot, there could be anything happening there in that land. But we see here in the ages to come, as Ezekiel is prophesying, that they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. There may be a few farmers there now, but it's not what God is talking about. So someone tell that to Hal Lindsey and the boys, and where you at, it may be off some of his people here on Pal Talk that say we have our head in the sand because we're not recognizing God gathering Israel. Well, I tell you, he told us, when we go back to the text there in Matthew, we can understand what's going on there today. Let's go back to Matthew 24 for a second. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. As we're looking here at the Old Testament, at the elect there, in Matthew 24 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 24 and I think it's verse 6. Yeah. Matthew 24 and verse 6. He says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Verse 7. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places." Verse 8, "And all these are the beginnings of sorrow." He says here in verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and deceive many." Now, in verse 6, as we look back, he says, "But the end is not yet." So a lot of people are looking at these current things that are happening, and they're trying to say that prophecy is being fulfilled today, because look what's going on over there. I mean, my goodness, they have been in a war for so long, I don't think some of the people even understand how it was to be in peacetime. And I say that very honestly, because so many people today, they want us to pray for the peace and safety of Israel. And so many people have been praying for the peace and safety of Israel, thinking that they will receive a blessing. But I wonder, based upon what we know here according to Scripture, that God is not dealing with the nation Israel. He's dealing with the body of believers. He's dealing with the church, the body of Christ. So apparently, the prayers are not getting answered because there's not peace and safety there in Israel. Let's continue on here. Let's look at Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. And don't get me wrong, folks. I would love for it to be peace. But the final authority for me is the Word of God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11 and let's look at verses 11 and 12. Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 11 and 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Egypt and from Cush and from Elam and from Shanga and from Hamathus and from the isles of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for a nation and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And he didn't say gather us over here in the United States or Europe or South America. He said their remnant shall be right there in Jerusalem, the holy city. Let's look at some more scriptures here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And Jeremiah 18, let's look at verses 1 through 11. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verses 1 through 11. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he walked a work on the wheel, and the vessels that he had made of clay was marbled in the hands of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the words of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Said the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hands, O house of Israel. And what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from thy evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my words, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and desire a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your way and your doing good. Now, someone might want to share those verses with the Calvinists. I know some like to use it to talk about individuals, but here in the context, it's talking about a nation, and it's talking about concerning, as it said there in verse 7, concerning a kingdom. Okay? Let us look here in the book of Exodus. Let's look here in the book of Exodus, and Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look here in verses 6 through 10. And we might want to, you know, usually I tell you, I love to show the Calvinists some of those verses there in Jeremiah, especially the ones about the instructions that he told them to turn from their sins and their transgressions. Let's go to Exodus chapter, chapter 3 and verses 6 through 10. Exodus 3, verses 6 through 10. It says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Here we see the Moses at Sinai there as he went up to see the burning bush. Verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow." Now think about it here, folks. He's talking about his people, that Hebrew nation that was in captivity there in Egypt. "And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, upon a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I will have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." Now, when we look at this scripture, could we say that God is talking to everyone in the whole wide world? That the application of this is addressing them all? No. He was talking about delivering the Hebrew nation. Okay? Let's see, next verse through 10. "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou might bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Okay? Let's go here. Let's fast forward a bit here to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. And note in contrast there that Peter is addressing the same nation here in his epistle. And we won't go there for time's sake, but let's go to Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, and then you shall be a particular treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Now, was God a respecter of persons at that time? Yes, he was. He says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, an unholy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." God, a respecter of persons at that time and times past. He did not say that all the people would be a nation of kings and priests. A lot of people today think that every single one of them in ages to come during the millennial reign of Christ, that every single one of them is going to be a nation, a part of the nation of kings and priests. He's speaking to the children of Israel, those that Paul gave us the information that were under the covenant. Let's go back to Paul real quick here and the dispensation of the grace of God. Let's go back to Romans chapter 9 real quick. Let's go back to Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart, For I could wish that myself were accused for Christ's sake, for my brethren, for my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are the Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, who are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God is forever. Amen. One second there, folks. I had pop up. All right. Now, so what can we understand from this? We can understand that God there in times past was addressing that nation, that holy nation that he hollowed out, that he called out there at Sinai, that he was addressing them. He wasn't addressing the church, the body of Christ. He was addressing those of the circumcision. Okay? Let's go back to the Old Testament scripture, and let's look at the book of Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 8 and 9. Okay? Isaiah chapter 65, and verses 8 and 9. He says, thus said the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one said, destroy it not, for a blessing it is in, so will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and my elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Now think about this passage. He said he would bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah for an inheritor of my mountains, and my elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And we want to ask that you hold your text until after the study, please. Thank you. Now, let us continue on. Is he addressing every single one of us, or is he addressing the seed of Jacob and out of Judah? Okay? Let's go to the next chapter. Let's go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. And let's look at verses 8 and 9 there. Isaiah 66, verses 8 and 9. Says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? And shall the Lord shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, said thy God. We're talking about here the birth, the rebirth of that nation, that holy nation. Let's go here to the book of Psalms. Let's look at Psalms chapter 22. Let's look at Psalms chapter 22, and let's look at verses 30 and 31. Psalms chapter 22, verses 30 and 31, says, a seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation, then shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this. We see a witness here, just as we saw in the other scriptures in Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Let's go also here to Psalms chapter 102. Psalms chapter 102, and let's look at verses 16 through 22. That's Psalms 102, verses 16 through 22.
Okay. Psalms 102. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayers of the desolate and not despite their prayers. This shall be written for a generation to come, and the people, thy people which shall be created, shall praise the Lord. For he has looked down from the heights of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praises in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together, and the kingdom to serve the Lord.
Okay? Let us continue on here. Let us go to the book of Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel chapter 37. And we won't read all of Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 and 36 are a wonderful chapter, but we're going to illustrate this here with Ezekiel 37, verses 21 through 26. It says, Ezekiel 37, verses 21 through 26. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from amongst the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherewith they have sinned, and will cleanse them so that they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherewith your fathers have dwelled, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children, forever, and my servant David shall be prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be for an everlasting covenant with them, and I will please them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. I'll throw in verses 27 and 28. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Of course, ages to come, the doctrine that we're sharing here. Let's also look here at Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30 should be some familiar scripture for us. Jeremiah 30, verses 6 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 6 through 10. It says, ask ye now, and see whether a man do travaileth with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hand on his loin, as a woman in travaileth, as all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for this day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off his neck, and will burst my bonds, and strangers shall no more save themselves, shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord thy God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear not. Fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed.
O Jerusalem, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of thy captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Now I say that, I shared that to show the time of Jacob's trouble, that God has not delivered them as of yet. That's what Paul is addressing there in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, as we read there in verses 25 down, we see that God will return and deliver them out of the times of Jacob's trouble. So maybe we can get that over to Hal Lindsey and the boys, so they can get a clear understanding. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah real quick. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, and let's look at Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And we're going to look at verses 17 through 21. Okay? Isaiah chapter 26, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 21. Okay, Isaiah chapter 26. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out of her psalm, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, and we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth winds. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Let me go ahead and turn there, as I was cheating a little bit there on Brother Mikey. Let's see. All right. The dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thy into thy chambers, and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of the place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall be disclosed her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. And verse 22. And verse 22. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's right. No 22 on that. Let's go to Zechariah. Let's go to Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel. Sorry about that, Mike. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11. Ezekiel chapter 2. And verses 10 and 11. And he spared it before, as it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woes. Oops. Not Ezekiel. I want Zechariah, I'm sorry. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. All right, here we go. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and it shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. Okay? Now, let's also look here at
let's look here at what Paul tells us according to his writings here in Romans through Philemon. And let's go quickly here to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And here's some verses that we hear a lot with Calvin's group. But let's look at the context of these here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and let's pick it up here. And verse 7 through 11. Romans chapter 8. Paul tells us here, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Now, note here. Now, we looked at some Old Testament scriptures concerning them being resurrected or brought back or gathered back to Jerusalem. Now, here in Romans 8, Paul is addressing the church, the body of Christ, with the doctrine and information to us in our heavenly hope, not the hope of the land and the kingdom that is here upon the earth. Let us go through Romans 8, verses 14 through 18. Romans 8, verses 14 through 18. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, note here, folks, through the adoption here, the adoption, and we cry, Abba, Father, and we're joint heirs and heirs along with Christ. Not kings and priests upon the earth, but joint heirs according to the heavenly inheritance. And we're going to illustrate that also. So, let us understand who we are in Christ today in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, let's continue here in Romans chapter 8. Let's pick it up here in verses 28 through 39. Okay? Romans 8, verses 28 through 39. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, be very clear here, folks, with some of the information here. The Calvinists take the next few verses and run with it. But we need to understand that that we receive this by being in Christ. That it's not us individually, but us in Christ that are predestined. Okay, verse 29. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine them, he also called, and whom he called them, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely, also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. By God. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, ye rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We don't need the priest to go for us. We don't need Mary to go for us. Tell that to our Roman Catholic friends. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, we go down this path of scriptures, and we understand all of those things. We tell this one to the Pentecostals. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or perils or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, I love those verses. That should be an amen from one end of the earth to the other, the information that he has given us there in Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 real quickly. We're going to try to finish up here. We only got a few more verses. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's pick it up at verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What more do we need? According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's speaking about Christ, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. That is all done in Christ, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Make note when the Reformers use that passage. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherewith he has made us accepted in the beloved. Okay? It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, where he has abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. And verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, we talked about those on earth that elect, those that were addressed there in times past and ages to come, and now we see there both heaven, he's addressing the church, the body of Christ. Verse 11, in whom also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Okay? Not the way that some people say you don't have to go there. You don't have to trust in Christ. Let's go through the next verses. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnestness of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now some teach that no, you're sealed first, and then you're made to believe, and then you're made to trust, and then you go from there. No.
We need to be Bible believers and understand the doctrine that we heard the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. In whom after ye believe, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? Let us move on here to Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 18. Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 18. Wherefore remember that ye being times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, and without God in the world. We were in bad shape, folks. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye were sometimes afar off, or made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The middle wall of partition, that law, circumcision, all those things that were against us, all those things that were set up in God's plan of salvation for the circumcision, they were against us in the flesh, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so may, let's see here, a couple more verses, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What we look at today is the new creature, the new man of twain, okay? And came and preached peace to you who are far off and to them that was nigh, for through him we both have access in spirit unto the Father, okay? Let us go there to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians, who we are in Christ today, we are the new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not as they were in times past, O God, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A couple of more passages, folks. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. 2 Timothy and chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's what we need to tell the reformers. It's given to us in Christ. Okay? And verse 10. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life to immortality to light through the gospel. It's all done through the gospel. Believing that Christ died for our sins and was buried and risen again. Not the gospel of the kingdom, but the gospel of the grace of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 through 13. 2 Timothy 2, verses 7 through 13. It says, consider what I say, and the Lord giveth thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bond, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he can deny himself. Think about that, folks. That's why Paul tells us in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, Titus 2 and verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3, 21, 20 and 21, Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, for our conversation, speaking of the elect here in but now period, for our conversations is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the workings whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Colossians 3, and we'll come to a close here. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory, saints. Talking about the heavenly inheritance, talking about reigning with him in the heavenlies, not the reign upon the earth that is to Israel. Therefore, in 1 Thessalonians, as we close here, verses 14 through 18, we can see our destination. We can see the next part of our journey, those of us that are in Christ, who believe the gospel of Christ, who believe that Christ died for our sins and was buried and risen again. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Christ will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of an with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We looked here tonight, folks, at the destiny of the Old Testament elect, or the elect in times past and ages to come, and the issue of those and the dispensation of the grace of God, those of us that are in the but now period of God's will, and we saw to consider the differences, the things that differ for both body of believers that believe in remnant and the church, the body of Christ. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the study and for the assembly, the We thank that we come together here to preach and teach and to proclaim God's word boldly, to share the truth in the scriptures that we have tonight. And we want to thank all of those that we can understand here from this little study about the elect in times past, but now, and ages to come. Amen and amen. I want to thank you folks for putting up with me here this hour and 13 minutes, according to my computer.